From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled, Secure in God's Everlasting Arms, part of this series in the 8th chapter of Romans. The text, verse 28, is one of the most beloved verses in all of the Bible. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. The context is the weaknesses of God's people, especially their physical, temporal weaknesses. The text is also connected to the teaching of the entire chapter, the truth that there is no condemnation to believers in Christ. Because of that, Paul could say, "We know." As Dr. Cairns will emphasize, the all things mentioned in the verse does not refer to every single event in a believer's life, but to the truth that all things taken together are accomplishing God's purpose in that saint's life. Our assurance of this is founded in the fact of who God is. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Tears Shall Cease. The text is Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4, And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Yes, we shall come to this if we are believers. Sorrow shall cease, and tears shall be wiped away. This is the world of weeping, but it passes away. There shall be a new heaven and a new earth, so says the first verse of this chapter, and therefore there will be nothing to weep over concerning the fall and its consequent miseries. Read the second verse, and note how it speaks of the bride and her marriage. The Lamb's wedding is a time for boundless pleasure, and tears would be out of place. The third verse says that God Himself will dwell among men, and surely at His right hand there are pleasures forevermore, and tears can no longer flow. What will our state be when there will be no more sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain? Oh, this will be more glorious than we can as yet imagine. Oh, eyes that are red with weeping, cease your scalding flow, for in a little while ye shall know no more tears. None can wipe tears away like the God of love, but He is coming to do it. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Come, Lord, and tarry not, for now both men and women must weep.
Thank you.
you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs at freepres.org. That's ltbs at freepres.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study.
I think of some of the great girders of God that are supporting this text. How can I be so sure? You think of God's person. He stands behind this personally. You think of who He is. In the Trinity of His sacred persons, God, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. In His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. You think of the infinite, eternal, absolute God. He's the one who says it. You think of God's purpose, laid down in the counsels of eternity, before ever an angel was created to wing his way to do the will of God. God in Holy Trinity set down in an everlasting purpose His determination for His people. Thank God that eternal purpose gives us certainty. I've mentioned God's providence. I recommend the study of it to you. In His providence, God preserves, God governs, and God directs our affairs to their appointed end according to His everlasting purpose. Never forget, God's purpose and God's providence are not even remotely connected with what the world calls fate. Not remotely connected with it. This is the personal determination of the all-wise God coming with His omnipotent power and directing and governing to the end appointed. We've got His promise, and in Christ we've got His provision. You know, if this verse were not true, the whole scheme of salvation wouldn't be worth the paper it takes to write it down. The work of Christ would be a failure. Justification would be a meaningless mystery. But that's impossible. Therefore, Paul stands back. He looks up to his God. He looks up to his Savior. He hears the word, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. He says, my salvation is eternally secure. We know that all things therefore work together for good to those who love God. So there's an established certainty here. But now I want to come to the heart of the text, what we know. And here is an encouraging confidence. We know that all things work or are working together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. Now the meaning must be clear, but yet some people keep on reciting this as if it were saying something very different. This is not to say that everything taken in isolation is either good or pleasant. You always get some person, usually a thoughtless moron, forgive me for being so explicit, but usually thoughtless morons who are not themselves going through very much to challenge, and they come to some who are suffering, who have had some great setback, some real trouble, and they just pat them in the back and they say, oh, all things work together for good. You know, you should really enjoy this. You've just been diagnosed with a deadly disease, but you should really enjoy this. I mean, this is from God. It's not saying that everything taken in itself is good or pleasant. What it is saying that you don't consider anything taken in isolation. God is working all things together. And in that plan, each event has its place and its part in conducting us to the great end. Now, what are these all things? Well, they are all things. But particularly, Paul is talking about sufferings and adversities. He gives us a list of them. If you start at verse 35, he talks about tribulation, distress, peril, famine, nakedness, sword. He says, we're talking now about death. Death. And life. Talking about angels or principalities, demons, and powers. We're talking about everything present. Now you stop and think of what that takes in this world. Paul looks down the whole list of suffering. And he says they're all working together. This is a mystery I do not understand. In Colossians 1 I read of Christ, that in Him all things hang together. Now that's speaking of the cosmos. That's speaking of everything that exists in space and time. All the heavenly bodies. Every atom of existence. It is all cohering. It is all hanging together in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Colossians 1 is saying. Now it's coming down to this world. And it's talking about all the events of this world, all the sufferings, all the tears, all the agonies, all the setbacks, all the challenges, as well as all the joys and all the victories. And he says they're all working together, not by some personless fate, but directed by the all-wise hand of an all-powerful Heavenly Father. They are all working together for good. Now, good can have three different areas of meaning. You can, in good, you can have temporal good. Then you have spiritual good. And then you have eternal good. I have to say that the temporal good is not much here in view. God does not promise that everything's going to work out so that you'll feel good. He doesn't say he's going to work everything out so that you'll be rich. No, the charismatics want you to believe that. They only want to believe you to believe that to fleece you of the little bit of money that you have. You notice in the charismatic movement, the people who get rich are the people who are telling you you're going to get rich. Somehow or other it gets to them first. It usually gets no further. That's not God's promise. Now there are times that we're going to prove God even in the temporal realm. And he does meet his people's need. And we ought to take him at his word and seek for him to intervene even in the temporal realm. But the great issues in this chapter are spiritual and they are eternal. And God is promising, I'm going to work out everything. Everything. I'm going to work it all together for your absolute spiritual benefit and for your eternal good, for your sanctification and for your glorification. Those are the things that are in God's agenda. He knows what is best for you and he knows what is best for me. He knows what is most glorifying to him and he knows how he's going to accomplish that. The road for us may be a tear-stained road. The pathway through life may be a pathway of deep pain. But the Lord says, we know this. I am working all these things for your sanctification and for your glorification. Now think of who wrote these words. Humanly speaking, it was Paul the Apostle. These are not the words of some armchair philosopher. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 tonight some of Paul's suffering. In labors, he was more abundant than all the disciples and the apostles of Christ. In stripes above measure. Now, it's easy to read that. In stripes, he was lashed. Until the flesh was torn from his bones and his body was reduced to a quivering hulk of mangled flesh and gore. The Jews beat him with rods. With the 39 stripes, Jewish law did not allow even the worst of criminals to be given more than 40 stripes, lest he would become vile in the sight of those who were punishing him. And just to make sure they didn't break the 40, they always stopped at 39. Believe me, when you were in the receiving end, it didn't much matter. So he says, I was in stripes. I was in prison. In deaths. I'm facing death constantly. I was beaten. I was stoned. I was shipwrecked. I've been in journeys of every kind. I've been in danger on every hand. I live my life constantly in physical pain. I live my life constantly in danger of murder. And this is the man who picked himself up, left for dead, and set his face as a flint to go on to do what he was going to do anyway. This is the man who said, all things work together for good to them that love God. This is no vain philosophy. You know, I could preach this all day, and it may mean very little to you. I'm going to read you from an email that I got, and I'm using this with permission, from a young lady who knows all about suffering and all about trial and all about trouble. Those verses 28 and following have been my anchor during my health trials these past few years. Every time I lie for lengths of time in an MRI machine or a CT machine, or have bone scans done, and I've been in these machines literally dozens of times for possibilities ranging from torn tendons to bone cancer to brain hemorrhaging. I pass the time by meditating in Romans 8:28-29. Instead of focusing on the possibilities of what my doctors are looking for on the tests, I focus on the certainties that I know about my God. That He is all good, and that He is working absolutely everything for my good. And I remember that my good equals my sanctification, which is for the greater purpose of His glory, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. I have never been in an MRI machine in my life. I have never had a CT scan. Much of this is language I understand with the head. I hope I can sympathize with. But I have never been there. So if I tell you all things work together for good, and even in these extreme circumstances, this great comfort, this confidence will hold you up. You'll say, well, what do you know about it? I want you to listen to that testimony clearly. We know that all things, what? When they're searching your body, thinking you might have cancer? Or they're looking for a brain hemorrhage? Or the possibility of telling you you'll be dead in a week or a month? We know, even then, our God is all good. He's working even these things together for our good. And our good equals our sanctification to conform us to Christ. What a comfort.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, You may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.